much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hey, Bean, you are absolutely right. It is indeed daylight saving time. So I say daylight saving time. And when other people say daylight savings time, I shut the f*** up because it doesn't affect me in any way.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Where have you been?
Why, that was the French toast dippy things?
You're 2 hours late.
Oh, that's impossible. I sent my watch back for daylight savings time.
Saving, not savings.
You set your watch the wrong way.
It's neither a plural nor a possessive.
No, it's spring. I springed backwards.
No, you spring forward.
Have you ever watched girls' gymnastics? That makes no sense.
You could just get the correct time from your phone.
Oh, could I? Well, guess what? My phone fell in the toilet, so who's the f***ing smart guy now, Ken?
Hey, listen to me.
And now.
Don't you see? Daylight savings is just an imaginary construct.
It's daylight. Saving, it's not plural.
This is tearing us all apart.
Our feature presentation.
And good morning. Welcome into yet another all new Kevin and Bean show, this time for a Monday, the 11th of March. Hey, kids.
Hey, hello. Bean.
Let's play all 311 songs today.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Nothing
yeah.
else.
People will definitely stay tuned in.
I know. How could they miss
we should.
It?
We always come original, so I'm not shocked.
Oh. I mean,
that's a rough way
file
to start. Man.
Welcome to the week.
That's a rough way to start. Allie, welcome back. How are you feeling?
Hey, Bean. I'm feeling great.
Yeah?
Uh-huh.
Hip has never been better?
Hip has never been better as long as I don't move.
Oh.
Yeah.
How'd you get here?
Oh, I moved.
Okay.
Yeah. So it hurts a little bit now. But now that I'm sat with one cheek in the chair and the other leg just completely straight, I think it's going to be good.
This does not seem sustainable, Allie. I'm no physician, yeah. but I feel like you need more help than what you're doing.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a matter of finding out that it's something that they just say, hey, you need to go to physical therapy, you need to do this, you need to do that. But other than that, yeah, you're on your own. So why spend the money? I say, cheaply. What?
Seems like the wrong process.
It really isn't good. And to have a father in the medical profession and a mother who's a nurse, I'm an idiot. Yeah. Neither of them are pleased.
Do you think it happened from doing too much sex?
Totally, yeah. Somebody just nearly knocked the back out of me a couple weeks ago, and I haven't recovered.
It's funny. Jensen does sex, and he gets a baby.
It's not that funny, Chip.
You do sex, and you end up in the emergency room.
Right.
Well,
right.
I will be in an emergency room, sort of. A hospital.
A hospital, yeah. How was your weekend, Jens?
Pretty good. Pretty normal. Nothing too crazy. Is that not great?
No. It's fine. I mean, sometimes it's nice to just chill, man.
We lost the hour, and that, to me,
thank you.
Screws up everything.
It really does.
I don't feel the same. Everything feels different.
Yeah.
Hey, watch Kimmel tonight. He will absolutely have bags under his eyes and be complaining about how it'll take him 6 weeks to recover.
Months.
Yeah, no one has more trouble with the time change than Jimmy Kimmel.
You feel it, though.
You do. You really do. And everyone's like, oh, it's so much better. It's lighter out later. No, kids are playing later when I have to go to bed.
Beat it.
I did a real dumb thing this weekend, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably shouldn't have said anything about it, but you might see it on the news. So I feel like I should
just admit
up front. I went to the zoo and I wanted to get a picture with a jaguar.
Well,
and I
right.
thought,
sure.
you know, I'm just going to back up right against the enclosure here and take a selfie. Because the jaguar was right there and he's just a beautiful, majestic beast. And I thought, I'm just going to just back up against here, take this photo and be on my way.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Oh, the thing just leapt right through the bars and took a huge chunk out of my arm.
Yeah.
I feel like such an idiot.
Well, you should. You deserve it. Quite frankly, I wish it was more.
I shouldn't have crossed the barrier at a zoo.
No.
That's why they put fences around those wild animals that are deathly killers.
Honestly, do you think that jaguar, like, walked back to his little area and, like, was high-fiving other jaguars? Like, got him.
Got her. Hell yeah.
Look, if I'm a majestic 2,000-pound cat that's in a little enclosure in Arizona, that's all I think about is how I can strike out and kill a human.
Right.
That's the whole goal.
Right.
Yes.
That's what you're there for.
Yes, that's right. So I guess I'm just lucky to be alive.
Congrats.
Is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Just a little bandage, whichever one they put on me, and I'm fine.
Okay.
Well, okay.
Glad you're here.
Me too. Hey, If you didn't see this story, you're going to be delighted by it. We have time for the thing. Yeah, we do.
Sure.
This is a great self-own, and I love this story so much. It started with a research article out of the MIT Technology Review, which you may get, Allie. I don't know if you subscribe to that or not. But they were doing a study on the hipster effect. You know what the hipster effect is?
Would that be like when a hipster gets into something like vinyl and then all the sales go up?
No, that's a fantastic guess, though. It studied how nonconformists usually act unconventionally in the same way, and they end up all being the same. And we've all seen this. If you're the one emo kid in your school, that's awesome. If there are 400 kids coming to school with black eyeliner and My Chemical Romance, then you're not the outsider anymore. You're in the majority.
Okay.
That's what they're talking about.
Yeah, that's sort of what comic book movies are nowadays. It's like when we were kids, who would have thought, you know, the kids who read comic books are going to be the most popular movie makers?
And
exactly.
Boy, and now they're accepting of everyone.
Yes.
And now it's mass appeal.
Yeah.
Right. So that's what they were studying. So they did an article on it, and they published it, and there's a photo of a hipster. It's a white guy with a beard and a flannel shirt and a beanie. And they got a letter right after the thing was published that said, "You used a heavily edited Getty image of me for your recent bit of clickbait about why all hipsters look the same. It's a poorly written and insulting article, and somewhat ironically about 5 years too late to be as desperately relevant as it's attempting to be. By using a tired cultural trope to try to spruce up an otherwise disturbing study, your lack of basic journalistic ethics in both the manner in which you reported this uncredited nonsense and the slanderous, unnecessary use of my picture without permission demands a response. And I am, of course, pursuing legal action." So he was really ticked to see this photo of him on this article, right? Well, they checked to see if the model in the photo signed a model release. They contacted Getty Images, and sure enough, the model did sign the release. It wasn't this guy at all.
He thought it was him.
He thought it was him. It was an article about how all hipsters look alike. And he was furious that they put his picture on the article.
Oh, boy.
It wasn't him. After the misunderstanding was cleared up, the man responded by saying to Getty Images, "Wow, I stand corrected, I guess. I and multiple family members and a childhood friend pointed it out to me, and I thought it was a mildly Photoshopped picture of me. I even have a very similar hat and shirt," which, by the way, no duh. Thank you for getting back to me and resolving the issue. So I think it has been proven that all hipsters do, in fact, look alike.
They've done it. Yeah.
I liked that article so long ago, though.
Yeah, I liked it when it was more of a blurb.
Nobody really knew about it. I saw it like at a really small club.
Yeah, I saw when it was. I saw it when it was just a tweet.
Yeah. I saw it just as a thought above someone's
a bubble?
Head. Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry to drag it back out for you guys, and but hopefully some who are listening are hearing it for the first time. You know, the ones that are 5 years late from being relevant.
They'll probably get into it when it's a book.
Ugh. All right, let's talk about today's all-new Kevin Beach show, shall we?
Don't make this about you. It's about Allie.
Oh, wow. Okay. I had a very busy weekend, as you can imagine, furiously at the keypad trying to, or keyboard, I guess they're called, trying to, Allie, I got the Allie disease where I'm using all the wrong words today.
How dare you?
I don't like it.
Welcome.
Anyway, I was furiously tweeting at Saving versus Savings, and I guess we got a recap of that.
Yeah,
on the program
today. Imagined you at like a board full of screens and like 100 different keyboards, just checking all night long, like Homeland.
That was exactly what it was. Chip had the greatest weekend of her life because she went to see Limp Bizkit.
Limp Bizkit!
Chip, I don't want you to give anything away, but are we going to enjoy your breakdown of the show?
I think you will.
I don't
And I think I need to take some time off to follow them on tour like a deadhead.
Oh, my God.
I don't want to spoil anything at all either, but was he wearing a red hat?
He was not.
What?
I know.
Whoa.
Although I couldn't really see, I had to figure it out afterwards because all I saw were heads and phones.
Yeah.
But yeah, he wasn't wearing one.
Because you're a midget. We're finally going to get to Lister Superstitions. We had Jensen's mom on, the lovely Harold Dean, last week, talking about all the crazy stuff that she believes. And we said we're going to do it, and today's the day we're going to do it. And I know our listeners have a bunch of stuff that they can add to that list. Mm-hmm. Monday means great news. Also, how about this? Tons of stuff to give away, including tickets to that super secret show that we announced on Friday about with Bush and live at the Roxy. It's tomorrow night. You cannot buy tickets to this, but we will help you win your way in. We also have KROQ Advanced screening tickets of Us, which looks like the most terrifying horror movie ever made.
So excited.
It's going to be so good, right?
Yeah, it's so good.
Disneyland Resort tickets on the show today. It's Paley Fest, so Allie's got those every day this week. And our new game, Is It Racist? All of that straight ahead. Plus, Allie. I know a lot of people are feeling the effects of the time change, and that's why it's good news that today is National Napping Day, everybody.
Yay! Excellent.
Which gives us all something to look forward to a little bit later on today, right?
I mean, if we don't have a heart attack.
Time for our first look at what's happening here for a new week. Allie's here. What's going on?
Well, I said that because although, you know, we gain an hour of sunlight, but the downside is fairly serious, you guys.
Yeah.
According to a study, hospitals recorded a 24% spike in heart attack cases the Monday following the one-hour time adjustment and a 21% reduction in heart attack cases on the Tuesday following the time adjustment in the fall when the hour is gained. So obviously we shouldn't be springing forward, right?
I agree.
Yeah, this is stupid.
It's crazy. It is time to end this.
We're not cavemen.
We are not.
I think California is one of the states that is furthest along in the process of actually passing that, too. I mean, there have been very serious discussions in the California legislature about it. Of course, the governor would have to approve it, but it could happen. And it could really screw things up if we end up with a scenario where 28 states are on different times from the other 22.
I know.
Yeah, it could be very weird.
Maybe we come together as a country and we say no more electoral college and no more daylight savings time.
Also, voting on Tuesday. No need. Let's do it over a weekend.
Do Saturday? It on a Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah, Saturday.
Amen. Allie, I've also heard that car crashes are way up the day after, too.
Yeah, they said traffic accidents, workplace injuries, poor moods, obviously, Bean, right? How much has he yelled already this morning? And reduced efficiency.
Yeah.
Right,
it's
Allie?
A bad deal.
Yeah. So, obviously, the cons outweigh the good of that one extra hour. Like, ooh, yay. Sunlight. Mm-hmm. Ew. Right?
Allie 2020.
Thank you so much. You guys see any movies this weekend?
Not current movies. I mean, I watched the 1961 classic Forbidden Planet. I don't know if that counts.
Did you catch it in theaters?
starring young Leslie Nielsen. I did watch that.
Okay. All right.
But no, nothing current.
No, okay. I watched a TV show, but I'm going to hold into it because it might be my get up on this
oh,
week. Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, you won't be shocked to know that Captain Marvel did pretty well at the box office this weekend.
Oh, people had interest in that?
People did. Yeah. $153 million opening. That's just domestically. You know, globally, it did all right. $455 million.
That's one weekend, you guys.
That's one weekend, everybody. Coming in at number two, How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World, followed by Tyler Perry's A Madea Family Funeral, Lego Movie 2, the second part, and Alita Battle Angel wraps up. Yeah, sure. Top five.
How about Brie Larson going to theaters around town, surprising people at screenings, serving popcorn, chatting with moviegoers, thanking personally people who came to see the film? I mean, she really worked her ass off to promote this thing.
And in the cutest Captain Marvel tracksuit. Not sure if anybody saw that.
It was adorable.
Adorable. I think everybody wants one now. So if they're not selling it, they need to get on it. But yeah, people were super stoked.
Yeah.
People were cheering at theaters, I understand. That's kind of nice.
Yeah, I always wonder about the people who applaud at the end of a movie, though. I'm not sure who they're applauding for.
Same guys, in my opinion, who applaud after a nice landing.
Oh, I do.
No.
Oh,
in my head.
They don't hear you. They're in a bulletproof room. They don't hear the applause.
No, they're just applauding life. Like, yeah, we didn't die.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what a lot of people do at movie theaters now.
I thought it was stupid. Then you said that, and I'm like, okay.
the flight attendants hear you, though, and they...
Yeah, but they didn't do it.
Yeah, but they're part of the team that helped you get to your destination.
All right, well, then
safely.
You applaud at the bench when the basketball team wins, then. don't let the starting five hear you.
Remind me not to fly with Jensen. We're going down.
Don't applaud.
He does not support the airline industry.
I don't know if you watch the news, Jensen, but it's not always a guarantee these days that you're going to land safely and in one piece. So I think it's okay to applaud.
You could thank yourself. Thank you. Say it to yourself. They don't hear you. It's yelling into a toilet.
Thank your toilet.
Speaking of, what's the news? What's left?
Speaking of toilets, R. Kelly got out of jail Saturday. That's thanks to a mystery donor who paid off the $161,000 that he failed to give his ex-wife and child support.
Who are these people?
It's like a Manson family.
It's insane. His release came after Kelly's reps told reporters that he could afford to pay $50,000 to $60,000 of the support money to his ex, Andrea Kelly, but not the full amount. because he has no money.
Yeah.
And now they're talking about a whole new tape coming to light. So, I mean, this is insane.
And by the way, I have a lot of questions for that guy, too.
Was sitting on this tape and just realized... He all of a sudden saw a VHS tape and was like, oh, it says R. Kelly on it. Let me watch... Whoa.
Why would a person, as far as I know, has no connection to R. Kelly, have a copy of that VHS, that sex tape on VHS?
He says he has no relation to him at all, but
very weird.
He had a weird local Blockbuster.
Very weird.
Canceled.
Or it could be, you know, Conspiracy Alley, but it could be somebody that knows R. Kelly gave it to him to hold a long time ago and was like, hold on to this.
Right.
And the guy just forgot about it and now is like, hey, remember that
tape?
I don't
accidentally have child porn somewhere in my house that I've forgotten about for 30 years.
I mean, that'll be played back when they find it.
Yeah, this guy.
That's what happened to this guy, right?
Well, or he turned it in. I mean, yeah, he may have stumbled on it. We don't know yet.
Yeah.
But why would you applaud? The pilot doesn't hear you.
No,
he doesn't hear you. The room is completely soundproof.
Let me say this. What about when the co-pilot opened the door and the flight attendant say the passengers gave you a standing O when this plane landed because you did such a great job navigating through all that turbulence? I want you to know that, Captain.
They shouldn't be standing. They should be seatbelted in.
Right.
Also, just let them know. Like, on your way out, the pilots usually come out the door a little bit to say goodbye to you.
Yeah.
Look at them and go, great job. I'm fine with that.
I totally do, right?
Yeah.
And then I wink and I'm like, same place?
Plane?
No.
Oh.
Later.
Oh, got it.
Know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The butt. I'm talking about the butt.
All right.
No?
Canceled.
Okay.
I'm not surprised. I love it.
Some birthdays for you. Terrence Howard, Johnny Knoxville, Joel Madden, and Benji Madden. What are the chances? Those two have the same...
You have two kids with the same birthday.
That's crazy. And Peter Berg.
The Zinc Festival was at the Orange County Fairgrounds this weekend. Unfortunately, Harvey Danger was not able to make it, but there were a lot of other bands there. And we may actually include some phone calls coming up in the next segment as Chip recaps Limp Bizkit for us. Did you imagine you'd be seeing Limp Bizkit in 2019, Chip? Was that on your bucket list?
No, not at all.
We'll hear all about it. But first, though, it's that time of year again. It's my last ever Spring Forward on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock, you guys. And I like to think I made the most of it. Hit it, Steve.
That's right. Daylight Savings tweet.
Bean! How dare you, Omar. Allie, did you enjoy seeing some of the social media action over the weekend?
I did, and I'll tell you why. Because I, like Jensen, picture you, like, when all of the election voting's coming in, all the different TVs, you're just up there, like, hitting the wall, and it goes to a different screen. That's how I picture you this weekend.
It's one of my two big weekends of the whole year,
sure.
And I was very, very busy. I didn't sleep at all. I stayed up because I didn't want to miss anything.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, and you tell me if you guys think I'm wrong, am I just being too optimistic? I feel like I'm winning.
Do you?
I do. I feel like I'm winning the war because when I started this campaign 20 years ago, it was, you saw major newspapers and television stations making the mistake of calling it savings instead of saving. And I feel like now it's getting harder and harder to find at least big outlets who don't know which is right.
It's true. It's very true. Well, why don't I start off? I'll read the different companies or people and their tweets, and then you read your response.
Okay.
All right. First up is a listener named Elsa Lorena. She wrote, I see it everywhere. Companies getting hashtag daylight saving time wrong. Clyde Tumbaugh, you have a long weekend ahead. Hashtag grammar police.
All right. She sent that to me on Friday. And I have to be honest, I haven't been feeling great lately. And I wasn't sure if I had it in me.
Right.
I didn't know if I could go and fight the good fight one more time.
Sure.
But I did write back to her. Not sure I have the strength to fight this fight this year, but I'll try to rally.
Daylight savings.
Because the people are depending on me. I'm leading the army. I'm the guy at the front of the front of the line.
Right.
If not you,
going to end up in a file somewhere.
If not you, then who?
Exactly. Thank you, Jensen. I'm out there waving the goddamn American flag, leading my troops into battle.
Well,
and if I sit this one out, how can I expect my people to be out there fighting the good fight? I feel like I need to show up.
Well. I'll just say this. A rally you did, because it was about an hour later when CNN tweeted, don't forget to spring forward. Daylight saving time starts this weekend.
And I am all about positive praise in addition to calling people out when they're wrong. So I wrote CNN knows what's up. Hashtag saving not savings.
Savings tweet.
Bean.
All right. Next up, you are not pleased with the New York City mayor's office.
I am not.
They tweeted, daylight savings time is nothing to lose sleep over except on Sunday. Remember that clocks skip ahead an hour at 2 a.m.? We're looking forward, all caps, to more sunshine in the evenings.
I wrote to the New York City mayor's office, if you're going to mislabel it savings, you might as well write loose sleep too. Hashtag saving not savings.
That's that.
Daylight savings tweet.
Got him. Burned him.
You think you burned him there?
I think you got
him.
Yeah,
I do.
You got him.
I think I got him.
Okay. Here's who you didn't get. All of Star Trek fandom.
Oh, yeah.
Holy crap. What did you do?
This did not work out.
No.
I was not expecting this.
So this tweet is from Brent Spiner, who you guys might know as Data from Star Trek The Next Generation. He tweeted, I think I'd be much happier with daylight savings happening if it started at noon.
I wrote, the real Data would know. It's saving, not savings.
That's right.
Daylight savings. Tweet.
And I thought it would end there. I thought I made my joke. Mm-hmm. Move on.
I didn't even think Yahoo thinks he'd even see it.
Well, not only did he see it, he wrote back and got, by the way, 809 favorites for this. True, but I'm not Data.
Oh, dang. Why are you so angry, Brent?
So now it's odd,
right?
Because I have apparently offended Star Trek The Next Generation fans.
Right.
And I cannot tell you how weird the tweets got after that. I don't even understand half of them.
Okay.
This is a level of geekdom. Jensen, you may be geeky enough to help me with some
of this. I don't know Star Trek. This is a pop culture hole I'm in.
Here's one listener, or at least Star Trek fan. I don't know. It's a listener. But I bet. So he says, I'm not Data. But I bet at least once you wished you were. I know I have. Got positronic matrix? Any ideas on how deflector shields may come yet? I propose a heavy EM field. Needed on the ISS like yesterday. Trying to speak to Elon Musk to offer ideas. One tweet.
That's 140. Sure. That's 140 characters?
Yes.
Wow.
Data's memories and experiences were down. This is a different one. Data's memories and experiences were downloaded into B4. If B4's brain were to be upgraded, it could basically be Data. Another one. Yes, but Data's internal chronometer probably isn't affected, I would guess. Geez. Just an educated guess that the Federation would have implemented a more consistent timekeeping paradigm once humanity broke past the barrier of interplanetary travel. No need for DST in space.
At what point did you press the mute this conversation button?
It just went on and on and on. Some people were telling me that Data is not really Data, but he's actually something called Lore, L-O-R-E. I don't know what that means. Here's another one. Clearly true, you are not Data, as you have used a contraction in this reply.
Oh.
I guess Data doesn't use contractions.
Well, sure.
All right. So then I started hearing from people who don't think that I understand that Brent Spiner is not actually Data. I mean, this was crazy. I would get things like, no. He's a person who chose a profession as an actor, who then played an iconic character. The whole point of being an artist, as well as, you know, a person, is that you're not fully one thing. You're a multitude of things. Who wants to be cornered into one thing their whole life?
Sick burn.
Like, I don't understand acting now. You're right. I really should have. I would imagine individual planets might maintain the DST standard, but I would agree an interstellar interplanetary application would be appropriate. I got to get out of this conversation.
Beat it, nerd.
Right?
I know, right? So I wasn't expecting that at all.
Unreal.
Well, at least you waited an hour to then go against the Catholic Church. This is
at least you found a place that doesn't have that type of fandom now.
The diocese in Kansas City. Remember to set your clocks forward 1 hour this weekend. Hashtag daylight savings time.
I responded, as if the Catholic Church isn't getting enough bad press lately. You have to make it worse? Hashtag
savings tweet.
Which I love because what they did with that hashtag, I'm saying, is worse than what they're getting bad press for.
You're a horrible, horrible person. All right, next up. My God, you went after Disney. So Disney tweets, more sun means more fun. Hashtag daylight savings.
I'm glad Walt Disney isn't alive to see this horror. Hashtag saving not savings.
Daylight savings tweet.
And he did only miss seeing that tweet by 50 years. Well, he died in 1966.
Listen, his head is still alive, so.
Somewhere. Somewhere. And finally, it's like you were like, who could I really hurt? Someone that's already way down on their luck. How do I punch down possibly the biggest punch down ever? Well, that's when the Cleveland Browns entered the picture. Hashtag daylight savings time means 1 hour closer to football.
Well, none of us are surprised the Browns would get it wrong. Hashtag saving not savings.
Daylight savings tweet.
You proud of yourself?
All this week on the Kevin and Bean Show at 9 a.m., we've got a four-pack of passes to the Disneyland Resort. You can experience the Food and Wine Festival at Disney's California Adventure Resort happening now through April 23rd. Head to KROQ.com for another chance to win, not just on our show at 9, but then throughout the KROQ day at noon and 3 and 6 and 9 p.m. Again, KROQ.com for details. This weekend was Travis Barker's Musink Festival and Tattoo Convention, which is always a great time. Chip, I know you were there. You did not go Friday to see Suicidal Tendencies?
No, I had to miss out on Friday.
Travis, of course, performed. The Vandals played Fear, Dead Kennedy, TSOL, Voodoo Glow Skulls. I mean, it was an unbelievable curation of music and tattoo artists as well. But the thing that everybody seems to be talking about, and in a non-ironic way, is the return of Limp Bizkit.
Yeah!
Now, Jensen, I know you've been talking about Limp Bizkit for a while, about how they, in your opinion, if I understand correctly, are coming back, like I said, unironically to the point where people now are excited about them and they're not going to see them to laugh at them. They're going to see them because now they sound great again for some reason.
Well, yes. I mean, sometimes I think that irony is so intense that it then becomes not irony. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, when Smash Mouth played at the Grove, a lot of people went with irony. But then when they started All Star, people just liked being there.
Yeah. Right.
I think Limp Bizkit's falling into that category where people just want to see them because it reminds them of a nostalgic time for them.
I don't understand a lot of people's like making fun of Limp Bizkit. They were freaking great.
Well, yes, but they were so fun. Sure, but it's not like we did it all for the nookie as like Paul McCartney and John Lennon. You know what I mean? Like the people.
Then thank God.
Well, still.
No, I think the reason is that Limp Bizkit. And by the way, Chip was there, and we're going to talk to her about it. We're going to invite your phone calls. If you saw Limp Bizkit on Saturday night, we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. I think there was a lot of baggage with Limp Bizkit because they created this whole movement, as so often is the case when some new musical style hits, where they were good, but then there were 800 other bands that did rap rock after them that people now hate. You know what I mean? Like, I think they took a lot of the blame for that period of music that a lot of people don't have fond memories of.
I guess.
Of.
I mean, Fred Durst was sort of a D-bag, let's be honest here, during that time. And also, like, they had, like, a George Michael cover. Like, it wasn't that they were being taken fully serious. They were kind of a TRL band. And now people are, like you said, obviously Musink, but also the week before they did a $3 show at the Troubadour where Marilyn Manson went up and performed with them. Billy Corgan, Steve Perry went up and did a song. It's definitely having a revival.
Is this a fair comparison? It's kind of like Guns N' Roses was out of action for so long that people knew and liked their records, and finally they got a chance to see them live, and that ended up being a stadium tour that went on around the world. Because
that's high praise.
That's a little too much.
It turned out there were so many people who wanted to see Guns N' Roses live. Well, is it going to turn into that? Like, people haven't really had much of an opportunity to see them for many, many years.
Well, I hope people don't compare Wes Borland to Slash, but yes, well, I see what you mean.
But I think they could also do festivals all summer,
yeah,
and people would love it.
And they supposedly have a new album coming out at the end of the year. So
okay, that's too far.
Well, let's find out what Chip knows. Tell us about your experience Saturday seeing Limp Bizkit.
Guys, it wasn't a show. It was a pilgrimage.
Wow.
So here's the backstory for me about why I went. So me and my best friend, Limp Bizkit kind of became like a inside joke because at the Honda Center, it's kind of a bad omen when Limp Bizkit plays. It's kind of been a joke the last couple of years. When you hear Rollin' or Break Stuff, mm-hmm. something bad always happens to the team. Either another team scores.
Oh, you mean a Ducks game.
A Ducks game, yeah. Sorry.
Okay.
So at the Ducks game, like if another team scores or a player gets hurt, usually it's after Rollin's played.
Okay.
So it's become kind of a thing. And so when Limp Bizkit was announced for Musink, I said, hey, I know I'm going and I know who's coming with me.
Mm-hmm.
And we went just with the intent of just having a good time. Guys, it was so much fun. And that's just not being ironic. That was like, yeah, like people will, like, it's easy to sit in the back of the room and cross your arms and go, yeah, it's Limp Bizkit. You know, we've talked earlier about how they kind of became a joke. But they came out, they were in it to win it, like, full of energy. Only 10 songs. It was a really short set.
And a lot of them were covers.
But yeah, there was a montage, and it was odd because, you know, they played all the hits. They played Nookie. They played Break Stuff. They played, you know, there was My Generation, Way. My Way. Mm-hmm. They did three covers.
Okay, if I had you guess what covers, would either of you said Nirvana Heart-Shaped Box and Nirvana Smells Like Teen Spirit by Limp Bizkit?
Why would they do that?
I don't know.
And maybe they shouldn't have.
Why on earth would they do that?
Well, Fred Durst does have two tattoos on his chest. One of Elvis Presley's face, the other Kurt Cobain's face.
Oh, how about that?
So maybe it's just that he does it all the time.
They do Faith, Chip?
Oh, yeah, they did Faith. And they also did Green Day's Brain Stew.
Oh.
Yeah.
This is weird.
It was very weird.
And then they did some sort of medley of Pantera songs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that 10 songs, we just named five that aren't theirs.
The Nirvana covers were a little longer, but the other two were short. Like, the Brain Stew cover was maybe, like, the intro and, like, a little bit of the first verse.
All right, how about the audience reaction to Limp Bizkit on stage in 2019?
Well, first I'll have you guess. How many people do you think were there?
Oh, I would think it would sell out.
10,000 people, Ellie.
What?
10,000
to just see Limp Bizkit.
Just to see Limp Bizkit. 10,000.
Whoa.
And people were in the crowd singing along, rapping along, hands in the air, like, you know, following whatever Fred Durst was doing. Like, everyone was into
it's
it.
Having a moment.
Not a joke.
Not a joke.
Wow. How about that? Redemption, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go to Julie Anaheim, line one. Julie, thank you for listening. Thank you for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. You were in the audience along with Chip for Limp Bizkit.
Yes, I was. And it was amazing. I mean, the 14-year-old girl inside of me was just dying. I was so ecstatic. I could have gone to Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night if I wanted to, and I only went to Saturday because I only wanted to see them, and I didn't get there till almost 8 o'clock because who cares about anyone else performing?
Oh my God, I love it.
It's on, man. These guys are having a comeback and a half.
They are
I mean, in the energy in the crowd was just, I mean, because it's inside like a hangar, so you could just feel, like, it was palpable, the energy that was in the air. It was amazing. And I sang along to every song. It was so good.
So you'd go back.
I wish I could see them again.
Yeah, I was going to say, if they hit the festival tour this summer, you'd be there.
I probably would be, yeah.
All right. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Let me give you the definitive answer. Allie, you were out on Friday, so you don't know. Let me tell you who else is a big Limp Bizkit fan. The great Frankie Valli of the Four Seasons.
Yeah. Really? Yeah.
You were a big fan of Limp Bizkit then, right?
Of who?
Limp Bizkit?
Yeah, I guess I am.
I mean, there you go.
I mean, even he's in.
It's a Monday morning tradition. We'll look at some great news. Coming up right at the top of the hour. First, Allie's here with another look at what's happening here on K-Rock.
Well, what's happening is I want to give you something. It's Paley Fest, you guys. March 15th through the 24th at the Dolby Theater at Hollywood and Highland. If you haven't been, it is a blast. It's some of your favorite shows. You've got the cast and the crew up on the stage. You get to ask questions from the audience. It is an absolute fun time for you to go.
What's going on?
Well, what's going on is right now I would like to give a pair of tickets to Paley Fest 2019's panel with the cast and crew of RuPaul's Drag Race.
That's because Hollywood discriminates against our people.
Okay. It is happening on March 17th. So you're going to get to sit in the audience and check that out. If you need more information, go to www.paleyfest.org. Let's take caller 15 right now at 1-800-520-1067. And you are going to get a pair of tickets to Paley Fest 2019's panel with the cast and crew of RuPaul's Drag Race.
You just made somebody's whole life, by the way.
Well, I should.
People love that show.
It's awesome. I love it. Bean, did you check out SNL this past weekend with Idris?
I sure did.
And?
It wasn't as good as the John Mulaney episode the week before.
Okay.
Idris was game. Mm-hmm. There were some very funny sketches. It was an inconsistent show, but I enjoyed it.
Okay.
Khalid looks like he's gained like 50 pounds since his first album came out.
Oh, Jesus.
I was surprised by that.
Fat shamer over there.
Right? What's going on, dude?
I was just surprised.
Yeah, right?
No, he was good. I mean, I'm a fan. I was just surprised. I hadn't seen him in a while. But
you,
you know,
surprised that people eat.
Idris is fun. Why did you bring it up?
I'm gonna just keep it a bean.
I bring it up because we now know who's set to host on Saturday, March 30th.
Oh, okay.
Let me just say she's had an incredible past few months. She took home the award for lead actress in a drama role, the SAG Awards, the Critics' Choice Awards.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg?
And the Golden Globes. No, no, that was just a documentary. Yeah.
I'm going to say Miss Sandra Oh, because Killing Eve is coming back.
You would be correct. Yes.
I had the lead singer of Say Ferris as my second pick.
Well, speaking of Say Ferris, which we're not, the musical guest, along with Sandra Oh, Tame Impala.
No,
all right.
Oh, very good.
Good one.
March 30th.
Yeah, it's a good episode. Good, good booking.
In my iCal, you guys. You guys know when Killing Eve comes back?
April 7th.
Yes. Bean, good for you.
Believe it's my favorite show last year. I'm so excited for it.
Well, another one of our favorite shows is coming back on the 31st of this month. Barry. You know what follows it? Veep! You guys,
Veep is coming back.
Yes!
Wow.
I'm just real excited for the 31st.
I can't believe our windows withstood that.
Allie, do you have anything in your iCal that isn't TV shows?
Yes. I have my tax appointment.
Okay.
I have a nail appointment, and I have cocktails with my friend Allison.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
all right. So there is something.
That's all in the next week. So
I just wondered if you're going to get out of the house at all.
No.
That's all.
No. Of course I have. I had the premieres of a BBC show called Fleabag, which I watch via VPN illegally. And then the show Dairy Girls. Season
so
2
sad and lonely.
Came back on the 18th. Our friend Maren Dungey is going to be in The Fix, so I've got that written down.
That looks good.
Oh,
I'm looking
looks
forward
real
to that
good.
Too.
Yeah. I of course had Good Girls written down because I love that show, and then Barry, Veep, and Killing Eve.
I can't wait for Barry either.
So good, so good. Remember how much I used to talk about NoHo Hank, and then his publicist reached out. She's like, "Do you want him on the show? I mean, what's going on?" And then we got him on the show, and he was delightful.
And you guys have been dating for 2 years.
No, he recently got married and is living a really happy life.
Dang it.
Dick.
Yeah! Way to stick it, Allie.
Thank
Way
you.
To stick it.
Thank you so much. By the way, did you see what she did at the end of the show?
Mm-mm.
You know who that was, right?
Mm-mm.
Oh, from SNL. It's Leslie
Jones.
Leslie Jones wound up wearing a shirt with Brody's picture on it.
Oh, that's great.
And then on the back it said, like, positivity.
It's great.
It was awesome.
That makes me happy.
Very cool of her. Guys, the hospital gown famously worn by Kurt Cobain during Nirvana's 1992 Reading Festival is up for auction. Why so soon?
I mean, it definitely is iconic.
Absolutely, yeah.
We've all seen the photo.
That's the one where he appeared on stage at the British Festival in a wheelchair, wearing a gown and the wig, and then pretended to collapse, got up and performed, you know, a 25-song set that later became a live album.
He looked like Norman Bates' mom.
He looked cuckoo, for sure, yeah. Well, it's estimated to sell for around $55,000, which I think they could probably get a little more just for how iconic that is.
Well, I mean, who buys these things? I've only ever seen them at like a Hard Rock.
Yeah.
Like, where do they go?
Some guy named Jim in the Valley.
Oh, yeah. I love Jim's
place. Yeah. He just has it right in his entryway.
But really, I mean, other than the Rock and Roll Museum and the Hard Rock Cafes and Hotel, who gets these things?
I mean, a Nirvana super fan in this case, I might imagine.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. You guys, we almost lost Whoopi Goldberg.
What?
Uh-huh. So she made an appearance via satellite on The View on Friday. She has been absent from The View since February 5th. She said she almost died after a recent bout with pneumonia. Apparently, she said she had pneumonia in both lungs and was also septic.
Hmm.
Good Lord.
Wow, that is serious.
Yeah, she said, "I came very, very close to leaving the Earth. Good news, I didn't." Which was, you know, because she was via satellite. She was there and alive. So we knew she didn't. But she thanked her friends, her critics, and everyone for the well wishes and said she'll share more about her health scare when she returns to the ABC daytime talk show. Not clear when that will be, but good Lord.
We've talked about it before that pneumonia is very serious and people die all the time. You think it's just something you get through, but it can go bad. It can turn on you.
Absolutely. And especially people that have been sick with something else and then they let it go to the point where it's pneumonia. That's when it really does the damage, too.
Especially the olds.
Especially the olds. Yeah. Yeah.
Allie, you have to hurry because I really have to pee.
That was not
funny.
Not sure if you have seen Meghan McCain trending pretty much every week on The View.
I'm going to leave it.
No. Stick around, man. You got to hear about Meghan McCain. If you don't hear about Meghan McCain, how you current?
You can tell me off here.
No. How you current, man?
Views. I mean, I guess that's why she was hired, right?
Oh,
for
God.
Her views.
I hope he took the mic in with him.
Yeah. Bean, what do you think of Meghan McCain?
No, he's gone.
He really is.
No, he was going to pee his pants.
Sucker. Some birthdays for you. Peter Berg, Benji and Joel Madden, Johnny Knoxville, and Terrence Howard.
Daylight savings, moist.
Okay, that's
jeez.
That's piling on. Hey, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Monday morning. We appreciate you joining us so much. Next hour, we debut our new feature, Is It Racist? And we also are going to be giving away tickets to a great show tomorrow night that you cannot buy, and that is Bush and Live. They are appearing together. I want to say the Roxy. Does that sound right?
Yeah.
Live at the Roxy tomorrow night. We have tickets that you can win. First, though, we all know how much bad news there is in the world, but at least once a week here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we bring you some great news.
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for great news today.
Great news!
Ladies first today, Allie. What inspired you this week?
Well, thank you. Do you guys know what the St. Baldrick's Foundation is?
Mm-mm. Oh, that sounds familiar. Who do they help? Kids?
They help kids and childhood cancer. Basically, people raise money and then shave their heads, and that brings awareness to childhood cancer.
Not bad at all.
It's a great thing. I used to cover it every year when I worked on KTLA. So when I got this email from a very proud mother named Nancy about her daughter, who's a 10-year-old named Mia Cuevas, and she decided, you know what? I want to do this. I want to raise money and I want to shave my head. I think it'll really make a difference. I'm just going to let Mia tell you in her own words.
Hi, my name is Mia, and this year I'll be participating in St. Baldrick's. St. Baldrick's is an organization that has kids volunteer to shave their heads. I'm raising money to help find a cure to children with cancer. And my goal is $3,000. And I've been doing some math, and if all my parents' friends donate at least $5, then I'll be able to reach my goal.
I'm saying. So obviously you send that to all of Nancy. It's like, here, you're my friend. My daughter Mia just called you out.
Yeah, you're kind of on the hook for $5.
Also,
you can't really think. Yeah, a lot of friends.
Yeah. Well,
Allie, I can't believe you're doing a story that involves so much math.
Well, here's the thing. So I watched her video, and at one point in the video, it's like she just starts riffing. And I was like, this little girl is me.
I'm going to miss my hair, though. I'm sure you have $5. My beautiful, beautiful hair. We've had some great times together. Playing Rapunzel, combing it, getting into tangly messes, getting rubber bands stuck in it, finding things that I didn't even know were inside.
All right,
but I'm looking forward to not having hair and exposing my huge forehead.
I was gonna ask that she stay on teleprompter, but she won me over at the end.
Amazing. Okay.
That was really fun.
So I watched the video and I'm looking at her extremely long hair, which she is going to donate the actual hair to Locks of Love, which makes, of course, the wigs for kids with cancer, which is wonderful. But here's the thing, she doesn't know any kids that had cancer. She just felt like this was the right thing to do. So I am going to tweet out her fundraising page. Right now, she's at $1,679 of her $3,000 goal. I feel like we as Kevin and Bean listeners could put her over that goal. I just donated myself. So this is for Mia for being an amazing little girl and for her mom, Nancy, for letting me know that this is happening. And that's my great news.
And we'll also retweet that and put that up on the Kevin and Bean Instagram and Facebook and everywhere else so you can donate. And not only will I make a donation as well, Allie, but I will volunteer you to shave your head in support of little Mia.
You are very, very sweet. And oh, he cut out.
Yeah. I'm right here.
If you don't do it, it means you love cancer. So,
all right. Story number two. Here's Jensen. What's your great news?
When Billy Bai tweeted a picture of his father alone without any customers in his newly opened Texas donut shop, who knew what would happen next? I mean, how can you see anything coming? The picture was heart-wrenching as his dad stood alone behind a counter with every single donut still in the display and a totally empty parking lot was the second picture. It was just
grand opening sign.
It was just such a dismal look. The store was called Billy's Donuts, which is so sweetly named after his tweeting son. And although the opening of the shop was his passion, it was not working out. The tweet simply read, "My dad is sad because no one is coming to his new donut shop." And then, to add insult to injury, he included the crying face emoji. And in return, like many things that go viral that you can't really explain, the entire city rallied behind Billy's Donuts. Not only did people answer Billy's tweet by flocking in groups to the shop, they completely bought out the day's supply of donuts and pastries. In just hours, it had 200,000 retweets and almost double that in likes.
Wow.
Billy's Donuts, his Instagram page now has over 14,000 followers, and real reviews are coming in by the dozens of people just being like, no, this is the best donuts in all of Texas. So people are loving it. So this is more proof that the internet and social media isn't just for trolls and idiots with private pages. Sometimes it's helpful and supportive of things like local businesses and adorable fathers. And Billy's Donut put the perfect twist on a happy ending.
Oh, jeez.
And that's my great news.
And I'll close out this week's edition with a high school student. His name is Brandon Qualls. He and his best friend.
DJ relation?
No. But interestingly, because of the Jim Jefferies show, Brandon is also in a wheelchair.
Oh.
He and his best friend, Tanner Wilson, bonded over their mutual love of cars and trucks, and they do everything together. And what was going on with I wanted to call him DJ. What was going on with Brandon is that he has a manual wheelchair, and he has been having problems using it all day through school. He just gets exhausted. It had been going on for a long time. His family was not rich, could not afford to upgrade the wheelchair. But his good friend Tanner Wilson decided that he was going to raise the money on his own through his part-time job at a mechanic shop to save enough money to buy his best friend a motorized wheelchair. Sophomore in high school looks at a situation and goes, I'm going to help my friend out, right?
Amazing.
Yeah, so sweet.
So that's exactly what he did. He bought the new wheelchair. They brought it in and surprised Brandon in front of his classmates on February 26th. And he said, I just can't believe that he did that for me. It's been my dream to have one of these. I can't believe my dream came true. Unfortunately, the family doesn't have a vehicle that can transport the wheelchair back and forth. So it's going to have to stay at school for right now. So he uses the manual and he's not at school. But he has an electric wheelchair to get around school. His teacher, by the way, painted flames on the wheelchair because he's such a car enthusiast, which
That's awesome.
Great look. And I have a feeling as this story goes viral that somebody's going to step up with a van. Wouldn't you think?
I hope somebody's
going to help this kid out.
Put flames on that van, too.
Right, exactly. Tanner says he hopes that others may become inspired by his selfless act to lend a helping hand to other people in need. There's lots of people out there that have troubles and need a little bit of help. Sometimes they can't do it from themselves. So we have all just learned a valuable lesson from a 15-year-old. I love this story. And that's my... Still an astonishing song, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to believe that somebody sat down and wrote that. Like, that didn't exist, and then somebody just came up with it.
Oh, congratulations, Brendan Urie, on writing that song. That was a great piece of work.
Someone's writing a strongly worded letter to Jensen right now. Speaking of Jensen,
yes.
We had your mom on the show last week.
She's lovely Haroldine.
Delightful.
Yes.
Is she the only person in America named Haroldine?
No, she's run into a couple, maybe two or three. There's one in Hawaii I know that she's friends with on Facebook, and then every once in a while someone will pop up. And there was a basketball player a few years ago on Alabama, I believe, or maybe Arkansas, but his name, Haroldine.
Oh.
That was his full name, yeah.
You had to get that shirt for your mom, right?
Well, they didn't make a jersey, but I did look into it. Yeah. And then he did not play pro.
Oh, all right.
Well, the reason we had her on is because you revealed to us last week that you grew up in a very superstitious household, thanks to Haroldine.
Yeah, very much so.
She had a lot of things that she believed strongly. And we've done this topic every, you know, 3 or 4 years we revisit it because, especially in the Mexican households, there are a lot of superstitions that get passed down by generations as well. Mm-hmm. So we thought this would be a great time to revisit it after a chat with your mom. So you can call us at 1-800-520-1067. We want to hear about your superstitions. You want to recap a little bit of what Haroldine had to tell us last week?
Yeah, well, first, it all started because she raised me thinking that if I fell asleep with socks on, then I would get a headache.
So weird.
How does that... And I know the thing about superstitions is that they're not logical sometimes.
Right. Yeah.
In her mind, how would something like that even...
Oh,
get started.
There is no connection.
Or may, oh, there's no connection.
No, okay. She just things like don't put a hat on the bed or don't put any pair of shoes, including new shoes in a box, on a table. These things that I was raised with.
How does she feel about stepping on a crack and breaking your mother's back? Does she have a thought on that?
I don't know her direct thought, but I will tell you, I was raised in a sense that I made sure not to step on any cracks because it would crack my mother's back.
Yeah.
So I think maybe even if she didn't say it directly, the atmosphere in which I was raised allowed me to think that.
I mean, what's the downside, right?
There is none other There's than no absolute crippling OCD throughout most of your life. But I did get one method from my mom where she says that during your hiccups, if you smell your left palm three times, your hiccups will go away. And I did that until I was smart enough to realize I looked like an idiot in college. But then we got a tweet this weekend from Heather F. She said, okay, so I heard your mom's thing about hiccups. I just had them. Super weirded out because I just sniffed my left palm three times and they're gone. No lie. Hashtag Haroldine rules. Hashtag Haroldine knows it all.
Oh, Haroldine 2020, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe she's onto something.
Wow.
Yeah.
But that's just a that has a function of your breathing, right? It doesn't have anything to do with your palm, I would imagine.
Who knows?
I mean, how dare you question magic?
I have a superstition that I realized in college, not everybody had. When my roommate in college wound up getting a sty in her eye, and I said, oh, did you look at a dog pooping? And my roommate was like, what? What are you even saying? And I'm like, no, if you look at a dog when it's pooping, you get like an eye infection.
Oh,
and
no.
She was like, where were you raised? And I said, oh, you know what? Rosa's mom. That was a straight up Mexican,
true.
Like, yeah, that was a Mexican superstition that if you look now, even to this day, if I am driving and I see a dog squatting, I'm like, don't look. Oh, you're going to get a sty in your eye.
My superstition freshman year was to gain 20 pounds and I did it.
Good for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
What?
We're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you have some superstitions to add to the list, we'll get to your calls in just a moment. Is Haroldine otherwise a pretty logical, reasonable person? Is this the only kind of like weird thing about her?
No. She's quirky. She's a woman. Number one, she dresses like a fancy witch. She wears like big shawls and a lot of necklaces.
Like Stevie Nicks?
Yeah. Little Stevie Nicks. Like an Armenian Stevie Nicks.
Okay.
She's quirky, man. This is all on brand.
Okay.
Let's go to David. He'll be our first caller in the segment. He is in San Bernardino and he is on line 3. David, thank you for calling. We're finally getting to this topic. We had two topics that we've been putting off day after day. One was listener superstitions. The other one is pooping. What's up? So I guess we're lucky that we landed on this one today instead. What do you have for us, David?
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, that's all he wanted to do.
Wow.
Come on, David.
Boo.
You could do better than that.
You can do the hello, but then go on and contribute to the conversation. All right, let's make it Sandra instead, line 2. She's in Ontario. Sandra, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show talking superstitions. Sandra?
Yes?
Yes, radio down.
Good morning.
Talk to us on the phone. What's going on?
Well, I was hearing this when I'm on my way to work, and I remembered what my grandma used to always tell us, like when we spent the night at her place and we put our foot or our leg outside of the blankets, she would come and pull it and say, put that back in or the devil's going to pull it.
Oh, wow.
I know.
Way to put the fear of Satan into her little children.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what she used to do, and it was hard breaking from that, you know, like, what the hell? The devil's going to pull my leg.
Sandra's just sweating bullets as an adult. I just want my foot outside.
It's also a great way to scare someone, though.
I made sure I didn't tell my children that.
Yeah.
Yes. I think it's best that it ends with you. All right. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling, Sandra. 1-800-520-1067. What superstitions do you have to add to the list? We'll take your calls right after this on K-Rock. I don't know if you've checked the calendar yet, but it's 3:11 today, you guys.
Yeah. Mm.
So guess who we're going to be playing next on K-Rock?
Dave Matthews Band.
That is correct. So in Temple Pilots. First, though, let's get right back to our topic at 1-800-520-1067. Talking superstitions. One of our streaming listeners in Oakland this morning is Ginger. Hey, Ginger, what's going on?
Hi, how's it going?
Great. Thank you for listening from all the way up in Northern California. What's your superstition?
So I have two from my mother, and I have no idea why we do this.
All right.
But the first one is you have to always pay for knives. So if somebody gives you knives as a wedding gift,
You have to pay, even if it's a dollar.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so glad you said wedding gift, because I was trying to envision a scenario where someone would give me a knife. Nothing was coming to mind.
It's to give you a head start.
Jensen, you've heard that too?
Oh, I've done it before. Yeah. No, I've given money for knife gifts before. Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's weird. What's the other one, Ginger?
So the other one is, if you ever buy a handbag or a wallet for somebody, you have to put money in it. So even again, if it's just a dollar.
This is a way to just get dough from people.
Right.
I'm on to you.
Yeah.
Yes. Start coming up with superstitions to get paid.
Yeah.
All right, Ginger, thanks for listening. Thanks for calling 1-800-520-1067. Your call's coming up after some, yep, you guessed it, 311 on K-Rock. 311 on 311 here at the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. Our new feature, Is It Racist?, coming up just after 8. Right now we're talking about superstitions. Anna, Pasadena, my grandmother used to tell me that if I sat at the corner of the table, I would never get married. I'm engaged now, so suck it, Grandma.
Oh, my God. I mean, there's also Debbie at DebFest. One of my mom's many superstitions, if your palms are itchy, put them in your pocket and money will come to you. How much and when, she says.
That's a good question.
I had that with my mom. If my palms itch, means money's coming to you.
I thought it meant stop masturbating.
Well,
that's growing hair.
Oh, same.
One more, then we'll go back to your calls. This is from the 818 Amy. We're Guatemalan, and if you eat eggs while you're mad, you'll get sick, really sick. Not just a common cold.
What about... haven't you ever heard that if you're sick in any way, shape, or form, put Vicks on like the bottom of your foot and wear a sock and you'll be cured the next day?
That's insane.
Did Dr. Drew tell you that?
No, I feel like maybe my Mexican best friend growing up, her mom screwed me up.
Yeah, a lot of people are asking if I'm Mexican because of all the things my mom raised me with. Yeah.
I just imagine a Guatemalan family going, you know, can't have any eggs today. I'm super ticked off about something. Because you don't want to get sick. All right, let's jump right back into your calls. Let's go to Donna Elisa Viejo up first, line one. She's got a good one for us. Donna, thank you for calling. Thank you for holding on. What do you have?
Good morning, party people.
Hello.
I've heard the shoes on the table. I got in trouble for doing that once. I've heard the money in the purse, money in the car when you buy a new car. But I don't know if this was an Italian superstition or if it was a Catholic thing. But if someone dies in the house, you have to open the window within 3 days so their spirit or their soul could leave the house. If you don't, they're going to stay there.
But don't you want them to stick around? I don't want my grandpa.
Why do you hate ghosts?
Yeah, why do you hate ghosts so much?
Why are so many people dying in your home, Donna?
Not in my home. I found that out when I bought a condo and weird things were happening. And I found out that later somebody passed away of natural causes, so they did not have to disclose it to us. Mm-hmm. So I was telling my aunt about it, and she's like, oh, they must not have opened the window within 3 days.
Well, depending on how long the person's been dead, you may want to open the windows anyway.
True.
I feel like with poops and stuff, it's worth it.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you for the call, Donna. We appreciate it so much.
Thank you.
Girls, let's go to Tammy, San Fernando, line two, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Jensen, I think you're going to fall very deeply in love with Tammy.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on? What's your superstition, Tammy?
Hey, well, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Well, I grew up with two, and I live dearly to this day. The first one is, anytime you eat food, you must put pepper on it so the witches don't attack you.
Whoa. Hold on.
Pepper keeping the witches away. There is
exactly.
One, you are sort of burying the lead that you believe witches are real as well.
Hey, I'm all for it. In this world, you can never be too sure on what you believe in.
You're right.
You have to believe in everything to be safe.
You're right.
So.
You got to believe in everything, you guys. I think that's a good takeaway.
As I put away my wooden stake for werewolves and vampires.
Thank you, Tammy, my little flat earther friend. Let's go to Adrian Pico Rivera up next on the Kevin Amici on line four. We knew we'd be hearing from a lot of our Mexican and Latin and Central American listeners. I think, Adrian, you've got a tradition that's been passed down to you. What is it?
Yeah, and I agree with Ali. So the main one is that every time Mexicans get sick, you always have to have the Guadalupe candle right next to you.
Sure.
And then with Ali agreed with, you always had had the vapor rub basically on your chest, and you would get cured of any sickness. And that's basically what happened.
But Ali was putting the, was told to put the vapor rub on her foot.
Yeah,
not
put
on
it
her
on the bottom of your foot.
Yeah, I don't know about the bottom of the foot. I knew it was mainly just on the chest, basically next to your heart, because basically it was just cure everything, like anything that you had.
All right. Well, as long as you got your Guadalupe candle, you're good anyway. You don't even need the vapor.
No, don't
thank
need
you
it.
For the call. Appreciate that. All right. Ricky Chino Hills, line 5, is next. I don't think I've ever heard this one before. This sounds like a sports superstition, right, Ricky?
Yeah. Hey, guys. Hi, Ali.
Hey.
So, grew up in a sports family, super superstitious. So, like, say our team starts to do good and a family member went to the bathroom, they are not allowed to leave the bathroom.
Ever?
I hear you.
No, never once. No, until they start doing bad. So, like, we're being Green Bay fans. So, in 2010, my sister went to the bathroom during the Super Bowl at, like, right when they – and as soon as the door shut, they scored a touchdown, and she was not allowed to leave until they started to do bad. And unfortunately for her, they never did bad.
Like, just bring me chips.
She's still in
there. That's great.
So she's just a skeleton in there now. Upstairs, what's going on? And then we had a buddy at a Kings game. Mm-hmm.
And it happened again.
Kings game and go to the first period, and my mom would not let him come back to the seat because it was a Stanley Cup game.
Well, you got to do what you got to do to help your team,
luckily
right?
Luckily for you, there's no need this season for
that. Yes. How dare you.
All right, thank you, Ricky. Let's do one more. Line 8, please. This is going to be Leslie. She's in Los Angeles. This is a curious superstition as well. Hey, Leslie.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Thank you for calling. What's going on?
Well, I grew up in Texas, so I'm not sure if these are Southern things, but my grandmother had all of those superstitions except for that egg thing. That was weird. But the one that I still have to do to this day is if you go in a door, you have to go out the same door. You can't leave through a different door than you came in.
Wow.
Even if you want to go to the garage, but you came in the front door, you have to go all the way around to the garage?
No, but like, say you're in you came in the front door to get in your house, and you have to go to the garage. Yeah, you go out the garage door, but you got to then come back in the garage door.
I only did find a loophole, though.
I will swim upstream so that I go out the same door.
Huh.
You know?
And is that true when you visit a restaurant, for instance? You go into Carl's Jr. or something like that. Do you keep track of which door you came in? You don't leave on the other side?
I absolutely do.
Okay. And why was your go-to for a restaurant Carl's Jr.?
I mean, that's a Southern California institution, isn't it? No? All right, Leslie, thank you for the call. You and all of us. Alan McKay's got What's Happening for us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now at 6, 7, let me do the math. 7:52.
Yep.
Yeah, right?
All of my clocks are on Central Time, so I have to do some quick subtraction when it comes time to say it out loud.
Well, you nailed it. It was seamless.
You couldn't even tell.
Couldn't even tell.
Thank you, Mr. DJ.
Hall of Fame, ladies and gentlemen, Hall of Fame. That was a very weird drop, Jensen.
Very odd.
Thank you.
Very, very odd. You guys, how excited How excited are you for the movie Us?
I'm thrilled. Amazing.
Yes. Starring Lupita Nyong'o, Winston Duke, Elizabeth Moss, and more.
I heard nothing but standing O's at South by Southwest when it premiered, right?
Yeah.
Like, people just went insane for it.
Jordan Peele is going to be, like, in 30 years, people are going to be talking about him like we talk about Scorsese and guys like that.
I think you're right.
He's very good.
Absolutely.
I mean, he did Get Out as his first movie.
Yeah, no big deal. No big deal. So Us is in theaters on March 22nd, but how would you, yes, you listening right now, like a pair of passes to the K-Rock advanced screening of Us? It's happening at Pacific's The Grove on Tuesday, March 19th.
Yay!
And kids, that's not all. We're going to give you a $25 Jersey Mike's gift card. We're giving you food and one of the most highly anticipated movies of the year.
Bring the sandwich in the theater.
They don't
People love
they
that.
Don't love it as
no,
much.
They love it.
That a sub in your pants? Here's what you're going to do. You're going to give a call right now. 1-800-520-1067. And if you are caller 10, you are going to get the pair of passes to the K-Rock advanced screening of Us at Pacific's The Grove on Tuesday, March 19th, instead of seeing it in theaters on March 22nd like a sucker.
Call now.
Thank you, Mr. DJ.
Standing by it.
We gotta talk to Jensen about
standing
these drops, Bean.
Standing by it.
I have a new one that I have been reluctant to play as well.
Well.
Oh, as I well? Mean, what do you mean, as well?
I've been dying to do that.
Here's my new one that I'm sure if I'm going to stick with or not, but I want to get an opinion. Now that we've heard how bad Jensen's is mine better, worse, or the same?
Oh, who
guess who cares?
Okay, you win.
Dang, you like it?
Yeah.
That was not the t-shirt battle I would have went with.
Oh, no. Oh, that's too good. Well, where were you guys when you found out that J-Lo and Alex Rodriguez were engaged?
Oh, who cares? Yes, who cares?
See? Thank you, Mr. DJ. Learned to fit there.
It works.
I mean, I guess I saw it on Instagram like everyone else.
Sure.
And everybody thought the same thing, which is, how can she lift that hand? That rock has to weigh 100 pounds.
Yeah, real subtle ring.
It is. It is not a joke.
That was a diamond on steroids.
Yeah, it was cuckoo. So A-Rod popped the question during their getaway in the Bahamas, nearly 7 weeks after they celebrated their 2-year anniversary. So everyone seems thrilled. Except Jose Canseco.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
Listen up. Perk up your ears. Turn up the radio if you've not heard this yet. This is going to be the coolest thing you hear all day.
The coolest thing. I literally was watching going, what is he doing?
I guess.
Jose Canseco is a prolific tweeter, dare I say.
He is off.
He's off the rails.
He's a madman.
He is insane. So here's the first tweet from 14 hours ago. And he's not tagging anyone in these, by the way. Watching World of Dance, watching J-Lo text Alex Rodriguez. Little does she know that he's cheating on her with my ex-wife, Jessica. Poor girl. She has no idea who he really is.
He doesn't have to tag anyone in this because he knows that it is instantly going to be shared 100,000 times on social media.
So then the next tweet, I was there a few months back. He called her on her phone.
Oh.
Oh. Next tweet, Alex Rodriguez, stop being a piece of S. Stop cheating on Jennifer Lopez. Next tweet. Alex Rodriguez, I challenge you to a boxing match or an MMA match anytime you want. What? Then the next one, he tweets at J-Lo, if you want the truth about Alex Rodriguez, call me. 702-374-3735. What is happening? Jose Canseco, you put out your number. Next tweet. A big shout out to Joseph Amoeba and his 7-year-old son who wears my number. Okay, wait. All right. That shouldn't have been in there. And then 11 hours ago, I'm willing to take a polygraph to prove that what I'm saying about Alex Rodriguez is 100% accurate.
All right. Whoa. Having said all of that, do you think there's any chance that he knows that Alex Rodriguez is cheating on Jennifer Lopez?
No.
Or is this just his way to try to get attention?
He's a crazy person.
He's crazy.
Yeah, no, this is how he gets attention.
Or is it just he talked to Alex Rodriguez talked to a girl on the phone, so the rest of this is just all made up in Canseco's head?
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's had some really weird jealousy issues with A-Rod in particular for years.
Do you know what else he tweeted this weekend?
What?
I'm still taking people to go on my Bigfoot excursion with me. Please pay at my PayPal.
Okay, I'd go to that.
He's
Who are you kidding?
Out of his mind.
Let's go on Bigfoot.
I don't want to be in the woods where he has a gun or anything looking for Bigfoot, no.
Nothing to me sounds better. Ugh. Oh, that sounds amazing.
By the way, Jessica Canseco, two husbands over her time. One, Jose Canseco. We know that one. The other one, Garth Fisher, the first doctor from Extreme Makeover.
And then I believe Garth Fisher's second wife, wasn't it?
Brooke Burke was her first wife, right?
Brooke Burke.
Yeah, first wife, Brooke Burke. Second wife, Jessica Canseco.
He's doing all right.
Yeah, all of them killing it.
Yeah.
I hope that he's wrong and he's just being, you know, attention whore here because J-Lo, this is her fourth marriage.
Yeah.
And she doesn't need to be marrying a guy who's cheating on her.
Oh, he's looking out for J-Lo.
Right? I am.
It's really nice.
Gotta get into style. It's the Limp Bizkit of drops.
At least it isn't long. Good Lord. You guys, Gerard Butler's Airstream was stolen.
What?
He is restoring a vintage Airstream trailer, but police said, oops, it was stolen from a fabrication shop in San Fernando Valley. And here's the thing. There's nothing in it. It's basically a shell because he's doing this whole revamp. So they basically just stole the shell of an Airstream, which I think could probably get you some money anyway. But Gerard Butler, he was going to be, you know, touring the world in his jet stream. I don't know if that's true, but I'd like to go with you if that's it.
Go find Bigfoot with him. You can't use it now. He's done now. You need the shell. That's like the top thing.
That's kind of the important thing.
Yeah, because it's like a vintage. Like you can get the engine anywhere or whatever.
Sure.
Yeah. Bummer for Gerard Butler.
And it's just a coincidence that it happened to be owned by a celebrity. They just broke in and stole the thing, not knowing whose it was or caring, right?
Yeah. Real sad. And after a decade of playing Fiona Gallagher on Showtime's Shameless, Emmy Rossum said goodbye last night. She left Chicago as, spoiler alert, one of her real estate ventures pays off. And she thanked her friends on Twitter and her fans on Twitter, saying, "Tonight, on my last evening as Fiona, I want to express my gratitude, my love for the Shameless family and our faithful audience. It's been an honor and privilege to be your Fiona."
You know how much money she's walking away from?
Oh,
after 10 seasons or something?
It's crazy.
Yeah.
She's doing it to start her own show with her husband, right? She wants to develop with him.
With Sam Raimi?
I think so.
Yeah.
Sam Raimi?
No, something like that, though. Raimi.
Who is it?
No,
it's the guy, Mr. Robot creator.
His name has Raimi in it. It's not worth it to play this out, I don't think.
Play your bit one more time. Play your sound drop.
All right.
It's not Sam Raimi at all.
What's the name?
Hold on.
We didn't get it during that long drop?
No.
Oh, man.
Why can I not find who create? Ismail something? Something Ismail? Sam Ismail.
No, it's not.
Ismail.
Is that his name?
Sam Ismail, isn't it?
Yeah, Sam Ismail. I just want to get out of this.
My God. Play your drop again.
All right.
Guys, you're holding up. Is it racist?
It's Sam Ismail.
It's Sam Ismail.
Yeah.
Good. Thank you. Some birthdays for you. Peter Berg, Joel and Benji Madden, Terrence Howard, and Johnny Knoxville. And that's what's happening.
Thank you, Allie, for most of that report. All right. Is it racist? Is our new feature, and we are in no way qualified to determine whether something is racist because we're a bunch of white people. So we need to invite our African-American listeners to call us right now at 1-800-520-1067. Men and women, African-American listeners only for this topic. 1-800-520-1067 will debut. You cannot buy tickets to the show, but you can win them from the Kevin and Bean Show later this hour. We're talking about Bush and Live at the Roxy tomorrow night, both celebrating the 25th anniversary of the release of their debut albums. That is coming up this hour on K-Rock. First, though, time for our new feature. Hit it, Steve.
Can you help me out? Because I have no clue. Is it racist? I don't know. Do you? Is it racist? Come on and let me know. Let's all find out on
I love how the theme song for this new feature is the whitest thing that Omar has ever done. All right, there's a story in the news. I'm not sure if it's racist or not. So we thought we'd have our African-American listeners, and I'd like to point out, by the way, that every line is on hold with a black listener. I thought we'd read the story, and then we all write down on a piece of paper whether we think it's racist or not. But we don't say our answer. We go to the callers and let them lead us to the decision. Okay. Mm-hmm. Here's the story. You guys may remember the Sons of Anarchy actor named Theo Rossi. He was great on that show. He played Juice. Well, he has a new line of drinking water that he is selling with the tagline "Get Ounced" and a hip-hop influenced marketing campaign. All right? Mm-hmm. He's run into a little bit of a backlash in one store in Brooklyn. As the article says, his burgeoning plan to hydrate urban America hit a snag after a number of local activists threw cold water on his plan, enraged over their attempt to build a brand based on the alcoholic products that are murdering our community. What he's doing is selling bottled water in a 40-ounce bottle. In a 40-ounce bottle that looks like the old Malt 45 bottles. So people in Brooklyn are saying, and lots of people have been complaining to the Canarsie's Food World supermarket, they're saying, look, I'm not going to buy this. We don't have problems with other water companies that are selling it in different sized bottles. But this is promoting alcoholism, first of all. And we're going to protest because it looks like an old English bottle. And we just think we'd lose so many kids in this community to alcoholism and what leads to after that, that we don't want them to be playing with water. We don't want our kids to grow up. And this is like the candy cigarettes.
Yeah.
You know, they start drinking a 40 of water. The next thing you know, they're drinking a 40 of beer.
I think it's important to address a few things. Can I add a couple?
Of course.
Theo Rossi is a mixed heritage, part Spanish, part Italian, part Syrian himself. On the show, he played a Puerto Rican in the heart of New York's most storied black neighborhood.
Okay.
I'll let you know that.
All right. Mm-hmm. One complaint to the store said it's insulting to our intelligence. What's next? Candy corn in a crack vial? Juice in a syringe? We don't want the families who live in this neighborhood seeing that in a store. And the store is replacing the 40-ounce bottles with 20-ounce bottles because of the complaints. But will this stand in the way of this beverage gaining traction in other communities around America? So we ask, is it racist?
Is it racist?
Let's start with Cookie. She's on line three. She's in Glendale, up first on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Cookie, thank you so much for calling in, for holding on. How are you doing today?
What did you do, baby boo? I'm good.
All right. 40 ounces, looking like an old English bottle, but it's just water. Is that possibly racist?
No, and I'll tell you why. The reason I don't personally think it's racist is because, number one, it's water. It's a big leap to assume that because someone's drinking 40 ounces of water, that they're going to be drinking 40 ounces of whatever the hell comes in malt liquor. Also, I don't think I've ever seen a 3 ounce of malt liquor. Maybe that's just because where I'm actually from. But also, I just feel like maybe we should be encouraging kids to drink water in whatever size or amount that it comes in and not really picking it. You know, it just seems like any reason to be offended about something so stupid.
Okay.
Cookie.
Fair enough. Good opinion. Thank you, Cookie. We appreciate that. Let's see if some of our other callers agree. Let's go to Melvin. He's on line one. He's in San Pedro. Hey, Melvin. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. What's going on, man?
No, I don't think it's racist. I think if you get offended by a 40-ounce bottle, where do you live? How should you take that?
Well, I mean, you know, they're just saying that there's a long history in this Brooklyn neighborhood of people who have ruined their lives based on walking around drinking 40s all day. And are Jensen, you would know that it's a kind of a classic trope in early hip hop.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
there's so many songs that talk about drinking a 40.
Well, even beyond that, Old English had full campaigns directed towards hip hop fans with Ice Cube and Snoop Dogg, and I mean they and Wu-Tang Clan. They had, you know, specific commercials with them.
But Melvin, you say no, not racist, just water.
No, where I live, I grew up in San Pedro area, and most of my friends who we party with drink 40s, and they were dominantly white or some kind of Italian or something. So it's not like they only sell 40 bottles in black areas. So why would you get offended by that?
Okay. Appreciate the opinion. Appreciate the call. Thank you so much. 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to Karen. She is a streaming listener in Alabama. Hey, Karen, why on earth are you listening to this show in Alabama?
I grew up in Riverside listening to you guys since the 90s, so I just still listened once I moved here.
Well, God bless you. We really, really appreciate that. You've heard both sides of the story from the article and the callers. What say you? Is selling water in a 40-ounce bottle racist?
It's problematic at best because of the history of 40 ounces being marketed towards black people. You wouldn't want water on an Indian reservation to look like an alcohol bottle. Everybody would probably agree that that would kind of seem a little bit problematic, racist at worst. But I don't believe that it's that we can label it racist as I sit here literally staring at a building with a plaque to George Wallace. I think the line between racism and things that are problematic gets blurred.
Right.
That really puts it in perspective.
That does.
Here's what Ounce Water, Theo Rossi's company, says. We have one mission: to encourage proper hydration. Our motto is hydration made easy. Ounce Water's 20, 40, and upcoming 10-ounce bottles help do the math to reach the 80-ounce daily water goal. So you say no racist, if anything, just problematic. Get over it.
Exactly.
Okay. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. All right. We're out of time with the panel. Let's see what you guys wrote down. Allie, you go first. Is it racist?
I looked at the bottle to see if it, you know, had that same kind of coloring on it. It's just a clear bottle, and it contains 40 ounces of water. Not racist.
Not shaped racist. Like a 40 bottle is what you're saying?
I guess it is, but since it's clear, you don't really think about it. Plus, he has a 20-ounce bottle as well.
Okay. Yeah, and an upcoming 10-ounce bottle. So you say no, not racist. Go ahead and sell it. How about you, Jensen?
I do want to go on record. Doesn't matter what we say. Who's the callers that mean something. But I do think that 40 ounces have a long history of being marketed directly towards African-American audiences. On top of that, I said it was Sons of Anarchy where he played the Puerto Rican. It was Luke Cage, and it's in a Brooklyn neighborhood. He is known for sort of his street characters. Mm-hmm. That's sort of what he does. And I think that this was a marketing campaign that is problematic. I agree with Karen who called. But since I only have racist or not racist, I went with racist.
You went with racist.
I did.
And I'm going to say that I automatically 100% thought racist when I read the article. Now I'm not so sure because we were 3 for 3 on actual African-American callers who said it was not racist.
Yeah.
I still think I'm fine with them selling it, but I think if it were my company, I don't think I would.
Who's
I
them, would... Bean?
Who's them?
Who's them?
Who's them?
Theo Rossi and his wife and their company.
Never trust Whitey.
This has been Is It Racist?
Is it racist? Is it racist? Is it racist?
Wait, here's my favorite part. Right? Doesn't that just make the whole song? We were lucky enough to have our good friend and friend of 25 years, Gavin Rosdale, in studio with us last week. And he was very excited about a new tour that he is getting ready to embark on with the band Live. It turns out that Bush and Live both released their debut albums 25 years ago this year. So they're putting this tour together, and they're kicking it off with a Bush and Live show at the Roxy tomorrow night. You cannot buy tickets. You can win them at KRock.com or right now on The Kevin and Bean Show. This game is called Women of the 90s.
Women of and on and on and of the 90s. I am a C. Bush. Coming on and on and playing the Roxy. Oh, when ticks, now you're gonna go with the play women of women on the honor of the 90s.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, my God.
Chip, please mark that down for perhaps the greatest intro of 2019 already.
Yeah. It's in the lead.
It's done. Yeah.
All right, Jensen, I believe you are hosting. The callers are standing by and ready to play. Recap again for us, then we'll go right to the phones.
I'm just going
to
give you a little bit of a rundown of something. You tell me who the actress is or what the movie I'm referencing is.
Okay, fair enough. Let's start. We'll just take them in order, and we'll start with Aurora. She's in Baldwin Park, and she is on line one. Hey, Aurora, how you doing?
Good. How are you guys?
All right, good luck. We're doing well. Here we go. To kick off the extremely popular 1996 horror comedy Scream, what famous actress is killed in the first 5 minutes when a murderous prank caller rings her home phone?
Demi Moore.
No.
No, Drew Barrymore.
No,
Drew Barrymore.
The confidence.
Oh.
Yes.
No.
Oh, Drew Barrymore.
No.
You are correct. It is Drew Barrymore. I wish that had been your answer, but thank you for calling. We appreciate it.
Oh, she drives off a cliff.
Let's go to April in Long Beach. Hey, April, I got a question for you before we play the game. Do you mind?
Sure.
What do you hear about April the giraffe? Is she pregnant again or what?
Oh, for the love.
She knows.
So I hear. I hear she is pregnant again.
Okay. Because I would imagine April would keep in touch. I would imagine all Aprils know each other, right?
They're on a Google
She's
alert.
Busy, and she has like a long gestation period, I hear.
You don't have to tell me, sister. All right, here's Jensen with your question. Good luck.
Fairuza Balk, Nev Campbell, Robin Tunney, and Rachel True are outcast teenagers who are also witches that summon spells to attack fellow enemy students at a Catholic high school in this 1996 drama thriller.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my God.
Nev Campbell, Fairuza Balk. Sound familiar?
Witches?
It does. I knew that Nev Campbell was in it, but I can't remember what the name of the movie is.
Oh
my goodness.
Nope. Mm-mm. No. It's The Craft.
I would have never gotten it.
All right.
Thank you for calling anyway, April, and keep me posted on the other April. All right, let's go to Monique Alhambra up next, line three. All right, so far 0 for 2. We have 5 pair of tickets to give away. Come on, people. Let's get to it.
Hi, Monique.
Hi.
Hi. Okay.
Good morning.
On the 90s TV staple Saved by the Bell, what actress played the iconic cheerleader and Zach Morris love interest, Kelly Kapowski, for over 5 years?
Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
Hey!
Nice.
There you go. All right. Congratulations, Bush, and live tomorrow night at the Roxy. Well done. By the way, preponderance of ladies calling for these tickets.
Good.
I don't know if you've noticed.
Yeah.
Chrissy's up next. She's in Pomona. Hey, Chrissy.
Hi, how are you?
Hello,
Chrissy. Good luck. Here's Jensen.
Reese Witherspoon fell in love with Marky Mark, a bad boy with a violent past that also carved Nicole Faeva in his chest to prove his undying love in this 1996 thriller. What's the movie?
I don't know, but thanks.
Oh,
remember?
Fear.
On the
fear.
Roller coaster?
It was Fear.
They I was going to say Swim, but I knew it was the wrong one.
Oh,
but
you're thinking of Swim Fan, which
swim
is also a classic.
Good. Yeah.
Good effort anyway. Thank you, Chrissy. Let's move on to Kathy, another lady.
I felt so dirty watching that roller coaster scene.
All right, Allie.
That was a good movie, right?
Get off your chair.
Kathy Pica Rivera up next. You ready to play?
I am.
All right, here we go. Cameron Diaz was the breakout star of this Jim Carrey 1994 vehicle that followed bank clerk Stanley Ipkiss' transformation into a smoking Coco Bongo dancer. What's the movie?
The Mask.
Hey!
All right.
Nice.
There's two. Thank you.
I got to say smoking.
Happy. Sounded like you were going to say something, Allie. Sorry.
No, still thinking about the roller coaster.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Hands where we can see them. Jennifer Kostaic up next. We got another pair of tickets for you if you can answer this question.
All right. Here we go, Jennifer. You ready?
Yes.
All right. Her pairings with Tom Hanks were rom-com classics, including the 1994 tearjerker that found her looking for a certain talk radio show host calling single father who went by the name Sleepless in Seattle. Who's the actress?
Meg Ryan.
Yeah, it is.
Hey, we got it.
All right, Joy, Rancho Santa Margarita. Hey, Joy, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Here's your question.
All right, Joy. In 1991, these two independent women, played by Susan Sarandon and Gina Davis, went on a crime spree and avoided police until they drove their car into a ditch while holding hands. What are the characters' names?
Thelma and Louise. You don't even have to finish.
There you go.
Did you just say into a ditch?
Yeah.
They went over a cliff.
It's a ditch. I mean, where do they end it?
It was a canyon.
It's a ditch.
I'll be
if the Grand Canyon is a ditch.
Guys, to me, I see no real length. I see it's either.
That's what she said.
All right, Joy, congratulations. Enjoy the show, Bush, and live tomorrow. We have one more pair. Am I doing the math right?
Yes.
All right, Casey. He is on the line from Fontana.
Great.
Hey, Casey, good luck. There's a final pair of tickets if you get it right.
All right, watch out, vampires, because this unforgettable 90s actress is here to slay ya. She played Buffy for 7 seasons of television alongside Rupert Gills and her friends from Sunnydale High, Willow and Xander. Who is the actress? Don't drive into a ditch.
Ann Summers?
No. But that does sound like we asked you who your girlfriend is and you don't have one.
She lives in Niagara Falls.
That was Sarah Michelle Gellar is who we were looking for.
Oh, Ann Summers.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, it is right. Oh, that's what we're telling you is it's right. All right, we are desperately out of time, but let's try to give away this last pair. Let's go to Connie, North Hollywood. Hopefully our final contestant.
Glass. Yeah. George Glass.
Right, exactly.
She'll get this one. Connie, you ready?
Yes.
All right. In 1995, Alicia Silverstone played Cher, a snobby Los Angeles high schooler who, in an attempt to make the new student popular, finds herself at the bottom of the cool kid food chain and in love with a young Paul Rudd. What movie is this?
Clueless.
Hey! Yeah.
By the way,
yes?
New Beverly showing Clueless today at 2 p.m.
Perfect.
I'll be there.
How would you know that?
Because I'm going. It's been on my iCal for a month.
K-Rock Advanced screening of, that's the wrong paperwork. Bush and Live at the Roxy tomorrow night. Congratulations to Connie and all the winners. This has been Women of the 90s.
Women, a woman on the honor of the 90s.
Speaking of, we have a 4-pack of passes to the Disneyland Resort. Experience the Food and Wine Festival at Disney's California Adventure Resort now through April 23rd. Coming up in about 5 minutes for you, right after Allie's look at what's happening here on a Monday.
Did you guys by any chance over the weekend see the video of people at Disneyland surprising cast members, letting them know that they would be basically they've been approved to work at Star Wars Land, Wars Galaxy's Edge?
No,
it was so moving. Maybe it was just moving to me because I'm such a Star Wars fan that being able to work there, if I had worked at Disneyland and that was where I wanted to be, mm-hmm. that would just be amazing. But they had this like head guy and people would come in and then he'd say, you know, we have been really looking forward to this and we want to offer you a bartending position and blah, blah, blah. And it like 3 out of 4 of the people just started crying. The bartender was like, yeah. But
everyone at Disneyland put in a request to be transferred,
Absolutely.
Right? To Galaxy's Edge. And if you're stuck working in a small world, you know, God bless it and all. But that's not where you want to be all day if Galaxy's Edge is across the park.
That seems like an attack on Chip, but.
Oh, poor Chip. I'm just saying, if you look for the video, it is very touching. Very touching. You guys, speaking of Disney.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure if you know when Dumbo comes out, but again, that's on my iCal. It's the end of the month. Thursday night is when it comes out here at ArcLight. Or you can see it when it comes out nationwide, Friday on March 29th. But this is the Disney new Tim Burton-directed live-action version of Dumbo. And I don't know if you remember in the original Dumbo, but the song Baby Mine was sung by Dumbo's mother, and it's this very tender
song, yeah.
moment. It's a lullaby. It is just this adorable scene. Well, I don't know if this is any idea of how Tim Burton is looking at this movie, but instead of it being, you know, the quiet lullaby, it became an Arcade Fire song. How
good one.
Dare you? How dare you? Teach me
how to dance. Sounds
get
good.
That,
I like
get that
really
off.
Good.
Get that off.
I like it.
Good Lord.
That was Jim's idea. From your head to your toes.
Baby of mine.
It's great.
Oh my God, I cannot wait for that movie. I cannot wait.
I now can't wait for that soundtrack. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm saying.
I love Arcade Fire and I love that song. It's two great tastes that taste great together.
And Tim Burton and elephants.
Yeah, all of those things too.
Come on, Bean.
No, I mean, it may have too much animation for me to go see it, but I'm excited about the music.
I know that I tend to tear up a lot throughout the day, but
yes, you do.
Did you guys not tear up when you saw that preview?
I did not.
The trailer?
No, I thought that the Dumbo looked like a juggalo, but sure.
Oh my God. How dare, the part when his face was all painted when he was being let out. Well, that's just one specific part of the movie.
I don't know. I'm not on board with all the CGI remakes yet. I got to see one I love and then.
All right.
I like Jungle Book. It was fine. But it just, I don't know. We'll see.
It's Tim Burton.
Yeah, no Johnny Depp, which makes me happy.
It makes a lot of people happy.
Yeah.
Not a fan. Hey, guys. Captain Marvel did okay, you guys.
Yeah.
Let me guess.
Okay.
Big buildup.
Uh-huh.
Captain Marvel, Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to say $800,000 worldwide.
Oh, very close.
Can I guess?
Yeah.
$1.
No, you should have gone more. Should have gone more.
I was going for, not to go over. I was trying
right.
to beat him. Yeah.
Right. $153 million domestically.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, just here. Okay.
Yeah, so globally, just paltry, $455
million. Wow.
And that's for the last year in theaters?
That's the opening weekend.
Oh, just this weekend.
Yeah, just this weekend. So not bad at all, Captain Marvel. Speaking of box office, coming in at number 2, How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World. Coming in at number 3, Tyler Perry's A Madea Family Funeral. 4, Lego Movie 2, the second part. And rounding out the top 5, Alita, Battle Angel.
People like that Alita more than it was given credit for.
I think so, yeah. It had legs, for sure.
People like it.
There you have it, yeah. R. Kelly's out of jail after a mystery donor has paid his child support.
He's a bad man.
He is indeed. A mystery donor paid off $161,000 that he failed to give his ex-wife in child support.
Robert.
So what's happening? Why are people wanting him to be free so much?
Robert.
I hope this isn't another woman like the one that bailed him out of jail.
It has to be. It's like a Manson family manipulation thing.
It is weird culty, for sure.
Robert.
Robert, indeed. Indeed. We talked about this earlier today, that we all feel a little sluggish during the first day back after setting our clocks ahead 1 hour. We talked about how Jimmy Kimmel used to take a month for him to feel normal. Well, here's an interesting little factoid. According to a study, hospitals recorded a 24% spike in heart attack cases the Monday following the 1 hour time adjustment. And in the fall, a 21% reduction in heart attack cases on the Tuesday following the time adjustment in the fall when the hour is gained. So not only are people just dying left and right or just having heart attacks, there's more traffic accidents, workplace injuries, poor moods, reduced efficiency. The cons outweigh the pros, and we need to end this. We need to end this now as a people.
I agree with you 100%, first of all. And that sounds like a very researched amount of data there about lots of different ways that it is negatively affecting us to do this stupid clock change thing.
But my nerves is that it will be done state by state, and then so you know, bad. or you know, yeah. region by region, and then now we're all messed up, and we don't right. know yeah. how many hours more New York is, and it's just right. all messed. Yeah,
like I need to call New York. Is it 3 or is it 2 now? What? Yeah. Oh no, it's
we
just
have to
problem.
Do it all as one nation.
I agree. Under a groove.
I mean, we couldn't even agree to start daylight saving time as one nation, though.
Yep.
You know, when you look at Arizona and you look at Hawaii and parts of Indiana.
Yeah,
that's,
right?
That's where we're at now.
I don't like it at
Imagine
all.
In Indiana what it must be like to have somebody who's living in the same state as you a mile away who's there's a time difference.
Bean, there is someone on Twitter right now who is agreeing with you.
That's okay.
Donald Trump.
Oh, he did say that this morning.
He tweeted that he is fine with getting rid of daylight saving.
Well,
I'm not surprised. I love it.
I don't know how it all works. I will have to watch another episode of Schoolhouse Rock.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I feel like we need to get this in motion.
I think there's a way. There's a way to do it. I mean, like I mentioned earlier, the California legislature, it has been brought up. It has been debated. It has not been put to a vote yet. But
oh,
I
no,
feel
it
like-
was put to a vote, and it passed the first part. We voted on that back in November. Whenever.
No, put to a vote on the ballot, but I'm saying in the legislature, though.
Oh.
Apparently, it has not gotten to the point where the governor can approve or veto it.
Mm-hmm.
And but I think there's a lot of momentum for it, and I think we will get there. I do think California is going to be one of the first states that's going to change it.
Yeah, again, I need to watch Schoolhouse Rock because I don't know how things become a bill and all that stuff.
Robert.
Some birthdays for you: Joel and Benji Madden, Peter Berg, Johnny Knoxville, and Terrence Howard.
By the way, you guys, we don't mention this enough on the air, but every day, Jensen Karp and I do a Kevin and Bean t-shirt challenge across mm-hmm. our social media platforms because we're both big t-shirt fans.
Yes.
Neither of us has dressed like an adult in a long, long time.
Correct.
And I bring it up today because I'm especially proud of a shirt that has my grandfather on it, my actual grandfather, Alan Baxter. And it's from a newspaper clipping of the enormous turnip that he grew on his farm in 1987. And I don't want to say he lived in a small town in Kannapolis, North Carolina, but it was pretty big news around those parts.
I mean,
how
he
big
made
this
made
turnip
the paper,
was.
Yeah.
It did. Actually, it made the paper. So if you want to see my actual grandfather holding a 5.5-pound purple top turnip, you can. He was asked, by the way, if he had any secrets that he wanted to share with the listeners, Allie. And he said he just did it the old-timey way, and he would plant every year on the same day, August 21st. And he's got 3 turnip patches this year. So that's my t-shirt that I'm
Listen,
wearing today.
I'm wearing a Wu-Tang shirt, but who cares? The
Which
man
is fine.
Had a huge turnip.
I mean, wait, you said you're wearing a Wu-Tang shirt?
I am.
Oh, who cares?
So just go and vote and tell us which one you like, my grandpa or the Wu-Tang Clan. Yeah. All right, Allie's here with a final look at what's happening on a Monday.
I didn't think I'd wake up today and hear about Bean's grandpa and a turnip.
Mm. And not a euphemism, by
no,
the way.
No.
It's an actual turnip.
Although, purple head, you said?
I did say that. 5.5 inches? Yep. Yes, I did.
Oh, not that impressive. You guys, first of all, the daylight savings time, right?
Saving, right.
Whatever.
Saving.
A lot of people taking a nap today because it is National Nap Day, right?
Yay!
Mm-hmm. Here's something that I just saw online, and I was like, this is the greatest thing I've ever read. So the Red Sox upgraded their clubhouse nap room in 2017. So they had a nap room.
Sure.
Apparently it wasn't quite to what they wanted. So the room has 2 bunk beds that each contain 2 queen mattress size mattresses. And each player has their own personalized pillow custom molded for their body type.
Love it.
The Red Sox know how to nap.
It's my kind of team, actually.
God, I'm so impressed right there. Good stuff.
This jersey that we wear today,
uh-huh.
It doesn't say Red Sox.
It doesn't. Mm-hmm.
It says Boston.
Yep.
Right. Tell us more, Big Putty.
We want to thank you, Mayor Menino, Governor Patrick, the whole police department, for the great job that they did this past week.
They did do a great job.
Mm-hmm.
What do your parents call Big Pappy?
First of all, it's Big Poppy, not
right.
Big Pappy.
Right.
Good Lord. Dominicans everywhere are like, come on, man. My mother, to this day, thinks his name is Big Puppy.
Well,
and she's convinced of it, and we're not telling her she's wrong, but she will call me and be like, oh, Big Puppy. puppy is out in Los Angeles right now for the Dodgers. Maybe you could go meet him. Big puppy.
Is she convinced that you two would be a wonderful couple?
She thinks we'd be really good friends, and I think we would, too.
Okay.
I love David Ortiz so much. Good stuff. You guys, it's 3/11 day, right? We all know this. And I don't know if you've heard about the movie, but the band, the fans, the unity.
No!
Yes, this is a 3/11 movie, you guys, and it's a total testament to 3/11's devotion to their fans and the fans' devotion back. Was that a drop? And I thought it was mean.
It wasn't a drop. No, it was just him doing
what
it.
What happened?
He was
but
so
it's a
excited.
Drop now. It's a drop
it's gonna
now.
Be a drop now.
You were so excited. He went, no! Like, you were so pumped to hear it.
That I really want, please.
I didn't think it was real.
that was my surprise at there being a 3/11 movie.
Yes, you are. Well, listen, it is playing for one night only tonight, and it's playing in so many different theaters. I'm not going to name them all, but everywhere from Claremont to Westlake Village, Long Beach, Irvine. Just go to 311incinemas.com and see where it is playing near your town, and you're going to celebrate 3/11 in the best way possible with the band.
You know what yesterday was? Today's 3/11. Yesterday was Mario Day because it's March 10th, M-A-R-1-O. Mario, Super Mario.
Oh.
Just letting you know.
A lot of holidays on the calendar now.
Yeah.
Coming up this Thursday, Pi Day, because it's 3/14.
That's right.
Why isn't there anything for March 17th? That seems like a good day for a holiday.
That's St. Patrick's Day, Bean.
What?
Yeah, it's true.
A lot of things to celebrate this month.
There really are so many things to celebrate. Like Jussie Smollett, who was indicted by a grand jury on Friday.
Canceled.
He was formally charged with 16 counts of disorderly conduct for the alleged false reports of a hate crime against himself.
That is another way of saying guilty.
He, however, is maintaining his innocence, of course. And Page Six is reporting that the cast and crew of Empire is pretty split over Smollett's case. Many supporting him, others furious with him. So that's
guilty,
all.
Guilty, 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 guilty.
Interesting stuff. Well, something we can all look forward to. March 30th, Sandra Oh is headed to Saturday Night Live.
That's a good choice. She'll be good.
Real good choice. She's had an incredible past few months. She took home the award for lead actress in a drama for her role in Killing Eve at the SAG Awards, Critics' Choice Awards, and the Golden Globes. So Saturday, March 30th, alongside musical guest Tame Impala.
Excellent choice.
Excellent.
I tell you, as a comedy writer, someone who's been in many rooms, can I tell you my pitch for Sandra Oh SNL?
Yeah.
Marie Kondo. She should play Marie Kondo.
Just because she's Asian?
Yeah, well, no. Because they want to do a Marie Kondo bit and don't put a white person in it.
It sounds racist.
It does sound racist, sir.
It's not racist.
I feel like Keenan could play her. He's great on. He's great in every sketch he does.
He could do any voice.
Yep. You see the controversy over Pete Davidson's little segment during the Weekend Update this weekend?
I don't think
so.
The audience audibly groaned, and not because it was a bad joke, because they were very uncomfortable when he came out and he said, look, if you support the Catholic Church, isn't that the same thing as being a fan of a monster like R. Kelly? How do you cancel this guy over here from molestation, but pray to this church over here where they've hit it for years?
It's a hot take.
And allow it to continue.
It's got some legs.
I don't think people loved it, though.
No.
In Catholic New York City.
Canceled.
Yeah. I think Catholics have a lot to answer for.
Yeah. And by the way,
someone that was raised a Catholic, went to Catholic elementary, junior high, high school, and college.
This is good to get into at 9:45, right?
Yeah,
I think so.
Although I did stick the body of Christ under the pew during my first communion because I didn't like the taste. So that kind of set up the whole tone for my religion.
So I think it's more on you than it is on them.
Yeah,
in that
you might be right. Good stuff, you guys. Good stuff. Well, speaking of that whole thing there.
The Catholic Church molestation.
Yes. Sales streams and radio plays of Michael Jackson's music took a noticeable hit the week after the airing of Leaving Neverland. The sales of Jackson's music dipped 4%, while overall sales dipped by 39% over the same time before the documentary premiered. And a lot of radio stations, terrestrial and satellite, are not playing him anymore. And those that are say that the numbers were down by 13%.
Well, whoever's running the Wave here in Los Angeles apparently doesn't have a TV because they don't know about it.
No.
They have amped it up, haven't they?
They really have.
Really?
Yeah, no, I've heard it more.
Yeah. All of a sudden, it's a Michael Jackson hits weekend.
Wow.
Tune in tomorrow for R. Kelly's anthology.
Oh, gosh.
They're going all off.
I love it. Hey, some birthdays for you. Joel and Benji Madden. They're twins.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Thank you, Mr. DJ.
You're welcome. Peter Berg, Johnny Knoxville, and Terrence Howard. Happy birthday. That's what's happening.
Thank you, Allie. So glad you're back with us and feeling better. Tomorrow, on your drive home. They're so stylish in their little blue outfits. Tomorrow on the program, we got a good show, I think, for you. Potato Chips, what's up? Apparently, there is a controversy that is ripping the internet apart, Jensen, right?
Oh, my God. Don't even come to me with your Frito garbage.
Also, there is a very controversial discussion going on in one New Jersey neighborhood about what to do about a neighbor who refuses to stop his dog from barking. Should the police be involved? Should arrests be involved? Should antifreeze be involved? What's the solution for this one? We'll discuss on the program tomorrow. Comedian Adam Ray is going to be joining us on the show tomorrow. We're giving away the store again, too. You know, it's that concert tomorrow night with Bush and Live. You cannot buy tickets for it at the Roxy. You can only win them. We've got them for you in the morning here on K-Rock. Also, more tickets to one of the most anticipated horror films since his last horror film, Jordan Peele, did Get Out. And he's back with us. We've got tickets for that as well. And more Disneyland Resort tickets, too. It's all tomorrow.